If you have your Bibles, you want to look with me, I'm going to look at a lot of scripture. I'm in Genesis chapter 3. This is the season of the year that there's a lot of focus on the first coming of Christ, what is called the first advent, when Christ was born as a babe in a manger. And the Old Testament is filled with prophecies about Christ's birth. We've been focusing on Sunday night for months on the second coming, which deals with, first of all, the rapture for the saved, where we'll go to heaven to be with the Lord, and then the return of Christ, the second advent, where he'll come back to the earth at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. He'll come to the close of the tribulation with the Battle of Armageddon to end the tribulation and then set up his kingdom and judgment and all those things. Then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to dwell with him forever and forever. Genesis chapter 3, and I want to begin with verse 14. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. That's the serpent that deceived Adam and Eve. That's why I don't like snakes. They are the devil's baby. It's exactly what they are. He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the first prophetic reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be the seed of woman without the sin nature of man. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the curse of the law. Let's pray. Lord, as we look into your word today, I ask that you'll guide and direct what's said. Help me to feed your people through the word, and I need your help to do that. Lord, help us to gain from it. May we see the importance of these prophetic references to your coming and your birth, and how now we are to look for your second coming. And so we have the same zeal as we see the proof positive of you coming the first time. May we have that confidence that you're coming again. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Look over at Genesis chapter 12, if you would. The Bible tells us that a prophecy of Christ that was prophesied in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New Testament with his birth was that through Abraham's seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now this is a reference to the fact that Christ would come, as Matthew tells us in chapter 1, Christ is the son of Abraham, the son of David. He came through the lineage of Israel. It's through Christ that all families of the earth are blessed. In the book of Acts, in chapter 3, I know where I'm going, but I got too many paper clips in the way. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 25 says, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now these promises that God made of prophetic reference to Christ and how they were fulfilled in his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, the second coming is also prophesied in the New Testament. It is called eschatology, the study of future things, how Christ will come again, and we look for his coming. The same promise that Christ would come through Abraham's seed is given through the seed of Isaac and the seed of Jacob, all through the kingly tribe of Judah, and as a son of David. And in Matthew gives us the genealogy in chapter 1 of the book of Matthew. The Bible says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And the tribe of Judah is the tribe of kings. And this was the tribe of David, and this is the tribe that Christ came through in fulfillment of this passage. We know very clearly that in the book of Matthew that we are promised and it is revealed that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. In chapter 2 and verse 1 of Matthew, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Drop down to verse number 4, when they went before Herod, says when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. This is from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. The scribes knew that this was a prophecy of where the king of the Jews, the Messiah, the Christ, would be born, and they revealed this to Herod. And we know Christ had already been born in Bethlehem of Judea. The time of the coming of the wise men was after the birth of Christ. They came to the house where the young child was laid, and the shepherds went to the manger scene where Christ was born. This was to protect him because Herod sought to kill him. He told these wise men, when you find him, come back and tell me so I can come and worship him also. And then they were warned not to go back. They did not. And he sent out soldiers to kill all of the male children of the Jewish people that were 2 years of age and under. And the Bible says in fulfillment from Jeremiah, Rachel weeping for her children as they were slaughtered, but Christ had been taken to Egypt for his protection. Now the time of his birth was prophesied in Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 25. God gave to Daniel there would be 70 weeks of years. That 69 weeks of years would be fulfilled until the time of Christ. And then there'd be one more week of years or 7 years that had not been fulfilled. We're still waiting for that 70th week to be fulfilled. That will be what is called the tribulation. It'll be divided into 2 3.5-year periods, with the last 3.5 years being the great tribulation. God gave this to Daniel in the captivity, that Christ would come after the 69 weeks of years from the time of the rebuilding of the temple until he would be cut off, and then there's one more week of years yet to be fulfilled. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 1 and 2, we know that Caesar sent out a decree for taxing all of the residents of the world of his day. Every man was to return to the place of his birth for a census and taxation. And so Joseph and Mary returned to Bethlehem of Judea, and it was at this time that she was great with child and our Savior was born. Isaiah 7:14 prophesied 750 years before the birth of Christ that he would be born of a virgin maid. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now Joseph was warned to flee and to protect the Savior. That's Jeremiah 31:15, the prophecy of the massacre. In Matthew 2 and verse number 16, when Herod saw that he was mocked, the wise men was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Christ would go to Egypt for his protection. God would call his son out of Egypt. Hosea chapter 11 and verse number 1 and Matthew 2 and verse number 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. He would be raised up as a prophet of God, like the prophets of old, Deuteronomy 18:15, and fulfilled in John 6 and verse number 14. He would be a priest, a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, not the order of Aaron, which required that he be born through the Levites, a direct descendant of Aaron, and his pedigree be proven mother and father, and he had to be of this people in order to serve as a Levitical priest. But he did not serve as a Levitical priest on the earth, but he serves eternally in heaven, our great high priest who made sacrifice for our sins by offering his own body, declared a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Psalm 110 and verse number 4, and the fulfillment is written in Hebrews 6 and verse number 20. Like Joseph as a type of Christ, Isaiah 53 reveals that he would be rejected by his own brethren, but he would suffer for them to provide redemption. John 1:11 and 12, he came unto his own, the Jewish brethren, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Zechariah prophesied in chapter 9, in verse number 9, that the king would ride into Jerusalem, humble, sitting on a colt, the foal of an ass. And in John chapter 12, in verse 13 and 14, Jesus fulfilled this literally just as it had been predicted. The betrayal of Christ was prophesied in Psalm 41:9 and fulfilled in Mark 14:10. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver, Zechariah 11:12, and fulfilled in Matthew 28:15. The money would be returned, not kept, and Judas, who was smitten with his conscience, tried to return the money to the high priest, and they said, what does this mean to us? And they gave the money to purchase the potter's field where people could be buried. Still to this day, every major town has a graveyard that has a section called the potter's field. It is there people with no money and no family and no income can find a place of burial free of charge. And that is done in the name above every name. And it was with the blood money for his deceptive trial and mocking and crucifixion. All of that was paid for with 30 pieces of silver, and the scripture prophesied that exactly. That they would hire false witnesses in Psalm 27:12, fulfilled in Matthew 26, verse 60 and 61. That he would keep silent before his crucifiers in Isaiah 53:7 and Matthew 26, verse 62 and 63. That he'd be spit upon, he'd be smitten, he'd be hated without cause, that he'd suffer vicariously, meaning he would die for you and for me. What he suffered was not for himself, but for us all. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and revealed in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. He was crucified with sinners, a thief on either side, three crosses on a lonely hill, a thief on either side, but in between the Son of God. How wide the gulf, how wide. Crucified with sinners, his hands and his feet would be pierced. All of these things were prophesied. Psalm 69:21, even the gall and the vinegar that he was given to drink. He would be mocked for trusting in God. They said, you trusted in God, let him save you now. Come down from the cross if you be the Christ. But if he'd come down from the cross, there'd have been no redemption for man. And this is why he stopped Peter, who wanted to keep him from going to the cross. In Zechariah, his side would be pierced. They would gamble for his garment. He would be buried with the rich, He could borrow a tomb because he only needed it for 3 days, and then it could be returned to the rightful owner. The resurrection in Matthew 27, 57 and 60. The resurrection from the dead, Psalm 16, 10, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. He would ascend up into heaven, Psalm 68 and verse number 18. All of these and many more prophecies were fulfilled literally, just as God's word had promised. And in the same way, all of those prophecies that deal with his coming again will be fulfilled for us. First of all, tonight, faith that Jesus will come again just as he promised, just as he prophesied, being fulfilled exactly, bodily, just as he promised in John 14. He promised to come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. He will return for the believer. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 9 through 11, two men appeared in the heavens and said to the men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that is taken up from you shall so come again in like manner, even as you have seen him go. And so they followed into Jerusalem and began their quest. He was taken up from them into heaven, ascending to the Father. When he comes again, we mortals will put on immortality. We who are corruptible in our bodies today will become incorruptible in the new body that we will receive. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 53. 1 John 3, 1 says that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him in that day. It's to be a comfort for us that the Lord is coming again, and that we're to be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 and 5, we have not been left in darkness about the coming of the Lord. Therefore, let us not sleep as others sleep. Let us watch. Let us be self-disciplined. Let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet, the knowledge, the hope of salvation, and having love and hope and assurance that we are saved by the grace of God. In that passage again, he said, comfort yourselves with these words and edify one another. We're to encourage one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching for the Lord's return. There are a lot of people out there that have been saved. A lot of people not going to church today. A lot of people who are caught up in this present world. A lot of people who are struggling in life. They need an encourager. They need somebody to come alongside and put their arm around them and say, brother, we don't have all the answers, but you find a lot of peace by going to church. You do find some answers by going there. God can speak to your heart there. Christian people will love you and help you along the way. Edify one another with these words. Our faith in his coming is based on our confidence that he is risen from the dead. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Look at Revelation chapter 1 with me. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 17. John, the beloved disciple, was given the revelation. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He said in Revelation 1, verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The things that shall be hereafter are eschatology. the eschatological truths about the coming of the Lord, the rapture for the saved, the second coming upon the earth, the new heaven, the new earth, all of these are prophesied for us in the Scriptures, and they will be fulfilled literally, just as all the promises of His birth in Bethlehem, His crucifixion, and His resurrection have been fulfilled. In Revelation 1 and verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, the word prince means ruler, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. That is a reference to the second advent, when Christ will come back to the earth. He comes back to the earth in the clouds. And the Bible says every eye on earth will see him in that day. Now we're going to be home with the Lord, because the rapture will have already taken place. We'll be with the Lord in joy and peace and reward, and we'll come back to this earth with him when he comes again. There should be no doubts. This is proof positive. This is Jesus who the Bible says that he is, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. And he is the eternal one who gave himself for us. The resurrected one is this same Jesus that was taken up, who will so come again in like manner. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Somebody dies today, they go to be with the Lord. But their glorified body awakes for the day when we shall be joined together with glorified bodies. And God will bring them with him when he comes. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. God's grace of salvation teaches us something. That we are to deny ourselves and deny sinfulness and live holy, godly, righteously in this present world. We're to look for Christ's coming and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to tell His message with all authority. We're to teach it to those who are unknowing and those who are unbelievers so that they might say, amen, be in agreement with God's word, that we might preach it to the lost, that we might tell it to our neighbor, that we might rebuke those who reject its truth, that they might be sound in faith. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll take you to the last point I have tonight. 2 Peter chapter 3. This season of the year, we think a lot about the first advent, the first coming of our Savior. But we also need to keep thinking a lot about the second coming. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. The day of judgment of God will come upon the earth dwellers, those that live for the world, those that live in the world, those who are of the world. But we're not of the world. We're just marking time here. We got a home in heaven with the Lord. Our citizenship is there, and we're going to leave this world behind. The believers of all ages, up to the time of the rapture, and those of us in the rapture who go to be with the Lord, will be in heaven with God when that awful day of judgment comes upon this earth. We get anxious sometimes when we suffer, or when we hurt, or when we see financial crash happens. But the waiting is because of the mercy. We'd like for it to be over. We'd like to be delivered. We'd like to be with a new body. We'd like to be home with the Lord. I'm sure that Linda Brooks has had thoughts about the coming of the Lord and Robert getting a new body and not having to lay up there in the hospital going through what he's going through right now. Many of you have gone through things physically, and you've thought about that. I think about it every time I try to wrap a belt around this fat belly of mine. You know, Lord, I'm going to get a new body one day. Glory to God. I'm looking forward to it. Aches and pains and suffering. I've been shot, cut, run over, broke up, broke down. I got enough aches and pains for all of us. But one day, it's going to all be over. I'm going to get a new body. To all of us who are saved, knowing what we know, knowing what God's Word teaches, knowing what we truly should believe, let us look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Let us be diligent to be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And verse 17 reminds us, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Beware lest anyone lead you astray from the great comforting truths, from the prophetic truths of the Bible about Jesus coming, about our home in heaven and forever and all eternity, about the motivating truths to live for God, looking for His coming to take place, about the assuring truths that we have peace and comfort from, and the eschatological truths about future things that could take place at any time. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. I pray that you'll help us to recognize that this season of the year, and we pause to think about Christ who was born as a babe in the manger, the humble sacrifice of life. We can't help but think about the shadow of the cross that fell upon that stable that night. How he came to die for us. Glorious resurrection from the dead has taken place. God hath dealt with our sin. All who have believed on Jesus, we are forgiven and cleansed and given a home in heaven. And now we look forward to the coming again of Jesus Christ. Help us to pause to think about the celebration of the season, but let us always be looking for Jesus, telling others, living righteously and without spot and blemish in this present world. And we ask you to bless your people tonight. Help us in our dedication to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.